time on Blueprint for a spot of Colin Bissett, who today is a symphony in Tulle as he takes us to the Russian Ballet.
If you wanted to encapsulate the huge shift in creative culture at the beginning of the 20th century, then you need only look at the Ballet Russe, the Russian Ballet. The dance company, formed by impresario Sergei Diaghilev, debuted in Paris in 1909 and rapidly became a crucible for artistic talent. Diaghilev trained as a musician, and when he was told he had no talent for it, he worked instead for the Russian Imperial Theatres. There he met a rising generation of artists and composers and took their work to Paris, showcasing their paintings at first and then organising concerts and opera productions. When funds dried up, he used every contact he knew to launch his own dance company with a short season in Paris. There were new commissions, like The Firebird from Igor Stravinsky, with choreography by Diaghilev's lover, Vaslav Nijinsky, and production overseen by Leon Bakst. The productions blended Russian folk costume with the latest cubist geometries, rich in colour and texture, and evocative of fantastical lands. It was a world away from the gentility of classical ballet with its rows of tutu-clad dancers on point. It was shocking, too. In 1912, Nijinsky choreographed and danced Afternoon of a Faun, the languid sensuality of Debussy's music a backdrop to his strange two-dimensional choreography inspired by the friezes on ancient Greek urns. This was then given a hefty shove of sexual expression from the lusty young faun himself. Nijinsky, all cheekbones and lithe muscularity, was astonishing. A year later, he choreographed Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring, which caused a riot on the opening night thanks to its thumping rhythms, odd costumes, and dancers who seemed to do little but jump up and down on the spot. But it did the trick, and the world took notice. The Ballet Russe had become the essence of all that was avant-garde. Each component, performance, music, choreography, set and costume design, was remarkable. Together, they were spectacular. So many major talents became involved in different productions, from Picasso and Miró to Ravel and Poulenc, although it's perhaps Stravinsky's work that gets star billing. Equally dramatic were the hijinks offstage, such as the volatile split between Diaghilev and Nijinsky in 1913, when the latter got married. Costs left some artists unpaid, and even Coco Chanel was called upon to help refinance the company. The wonder of the Ballet Russe clearly demonstrates the power of leadership. The trust and energy Diaghilev put into drawing together the extraordinary talents of so many people changed the cultural landscape. When he died in Venice in 1929, the company died too, although, like the Firebird, it rose again in various guises, none of which achieved the dizzying success of the original. Diaghilev's Ballet Russe passed like a comet in the sky, spectacular and transitory, but leaving behind a trail of unforgettable music and design, and an eternal inspiration to anyone who believes in the power of possibility.